Blog Talk Radio.
Bill Belichick, I'm a playmaker. Tom Brady gon' pump fake him. Zone blitz, hard hits, red zone, we gon' make it. 2 minute warning, I'm Tebow. With an ego like Tebow. All I know is beast mode. Strapping cleats, we finna go. Oh, you ain't know that we puttin' on a show. About to win a Super Bowl. Tough man, it's a go home. Look, I ain't really with all that. Coin toss, we call that. Wrong call, we get the ball back. Get pancakes, make a straw flat. Why they make me turn off Randy Moss down the field? Go. And we going for go. The conversion. Leave the other team hurting cause their strategies is worthless. Ray Wright sitting hoes and ain't a thing they gonna do about it. Yeah. You ain't got to believe me. Check NFL Weekly. Tape real, big brand, they got the news. You understand? They no plan, they no not. They no trash, they no hot. Top spot, up for grabs. Tune in to the podcast.
What is going on, people? Welcome, 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 welcome to It's Real Talk Radio NFL Weekly Wrap-Up. This is the Week 2 edition. We are live. There's a lot of crazy action going on in the NFL right now. Man, it's crazy. I don't even know where to start. A lot of drama, a lot of hard-hitting, smash-mouth action going on. Got some new hosts. Got actually two new co-hosts that's joining us tonight on NFL Weekly Wrap-Up, Week 2 edition. So before we get into all the action of Week 2, I'd like to welcome Bobby G and Danny Redzone on the panel. Bobby G, Danny Redzone, what's good?
Hey, what's going on, brother? Just out here, I'm glad to be on the set. Let's just do this, man. I'm just going to put the stats out there. I'm going to give you my input on what's been going on in Week 2. And, yeah, you're going to take it from there.
Yes, hey, I appreciate you reaching out. Appreciate you reaching out and let me be a part of this, man. You know, I'm really excited. I'm a fan for listening to the show and just hope to add something to it.
Definitely, man. It's a pleasure having y'all on here. And, of course, we got the Mr. Dano on board. He's been on with us, but, you know, Mr. Dano live with us as he is every week. I should have called you Mr. Faithful because you always, I can always count on you, you're always there. You know, Big Ram.
Yes, sir.
His, you know, co-creator of the show. His, you know, work schedule is crazy, hectic. I ain't even talked to him today. That's how crazy his, hectic his work schedule is. But, you know, the show couldn't exist without him. So, shout out to Big Ram who couldn't join us tonight. And, man, we here to talk about all this action that's been going on in NFL, man. So without further ado, we got a whole panel tonight. I know y'all are ready to get into it, so let's get right into it. That Steelers versus Ravens was the Thursday night game. Now, we've seen how the Ravens performed against the Bengals in Week 1, and we all know the Bengals were not slouches from the last couple of seasons, and they made the playoffs last year and were 8-0 at home last year. And I don't think too many people were surprised that they were able to beat the Ravens, but probably, if anything, they were surprised that they dominated the Ravens so much on defense in Baltimore. You know, more people probably expected the Ravens to win at home. But the Ravens, facing adversity with the whole Ray Rice situation, Week 2, a short week, they lost to the Bengals at home on Thursday, on Sunday, and then on Thursday they hosted the Steelers, and they not only won, but they dominated. They looked like a Super Bowl contending type of Ravens. What did y'all think about that matchup?
Oh, man, unbelievable. First of all, Jay Flacco, you know, 21 for 29, 166 yards with two TDs. You know, that was just only three days after the whole situation, the Ray Rice thing. They just said, you know what, we're going to just do what we do. He's going to put this on the back burner for now and play ball, play some football, and what a job.
You know, I really think that the Ravens did a better job running the ball this week. You look in Week 1 against the Bengals, they threw the ball, 62 times, really inefficiently, kind of got away from a running game in a really close matchup. But this week they kind of stuck with it. And Bernard Pierce had 95 yards. Justin Forsett had some clutch runs. And they just did a better job than the Steelers when they were inside enemy territory. Steelers got the ball a couple of times, a chance to score, and they got away with field goals or fumble or a pick later on in the game. Steelers, if I come away as a Steelers fan, I'm just looking at this like this is 2 weeks in a row. We can't stop the run, and it's definitely not the hard-hitting, blitz-purred Steelers defense we're used to seeing.
Definitely, man. And you know that Forsett, that other running back for the Ravens, I'm just now starting to get familiar with him. But Forsett, I think that he's really adding a new element to that running game that's making teams kind of not know how to predict the Ravens' run game, because nobody, they don't really have a game plan for him yet, because he's, the last 2 weeks in a row, he did a good job, and I think that he's starting to catch the attention of defenses, and I think defenses are going to have to start planning for him, because he has a totally different style from Bernard Pierce, probably more similar to Ray Rice. He's quick, agile, quick cuts. He's not really big. He's not a power back, but he's explosive, and he makes big plays.
Yes, yes, no doubt.
He's also a threat in the receiving game as well. That's to piggyback off what you're talking about, how his game is like Ray Rice. You know, Bernard's pretty much north and south straight ahead. He's not going to guy you're going to run screens for. And anytime you can get Flacco another option out of the backfield, give him some checkdowns, that's just going to make him a better player.
Yes, no doubt. Averaging 7 yards per carry. You know, he's like eight completions. That is unbelievable. You're going to just march up the field all day running like that. And, yeah, hats off to Jay Forsett for what a great game.
Definitely, man. And, you know, before we get to this next game, you know, I touched on it last week, but I didn't have you guys on here. So I want to hear what you guys think about the whole Ray Rice situation, because I feel like it's really turning into a circus, and I feel like the NFL is like kind of, the media is like trying to turn the NFL into like a reality show. And it's just crazy to me with this whole Adrian Peterson. We will get into that, but what do y'all feel about this whole Ray Rice situation, how the media has really blown this thing up?
Oh, well,
I think the Ray Rice, he shouldn't have did what he did. But once they penalized him for the two games, then I think they shouldn't have tried to go back on their word and suspend him indefinitely, because he was already punished. And then they try to do a double jeopardy. You can't do that. This is like somebody going to trial, and then they acquit it, and then they go back and rechange it and try to retry him again. You can't do that.
Yes, no
Mr. Dano, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean,
yes.
Not only just the double jeopardy aspect, is the fact that the NFL is kind of throwing them out there as a sacrificial lamb, because they know they messed up.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they say, hey, we suspend them for the whole season. Maybe people won't come down so hard on Roger Goodell and all those. You can't convict the man twice.
Yes. And also, man, you know, a lot of people, they may not see this, or people, they may not think that so far as the players, but people look at these guys as role models, and they look to see what they do on and off the field. So what you do on the field is one thing, what you do off the field is another thing. But they're going to look at all of that. You know, they're going to look at, you know, the type of player you are, the type of person you are. So you definitely got to watch what you do, as, you know, because let's face it, you know, we're men first. You know, we're players second. So, you know, they look at that too. Don't, no question. So, yeah, no doubt. That's a strike. You know, I love you, Ray Rice, my boy. I've watched, followed you since Rutgers. Nor that. But, like I said, that right there, we really can't have that. And the NFL, you know, they may be coming down a little hard on him, but, you know, they really have to, hopefully, we don't know what's going to happen in the future. They might make some changes with, so far as, like, what they're doing for him right now. But, you know, he has to definitely, in a way, I guess it's kind of, like, good that it happened, because maybe this, you know, make the other players, anybody think about that. But, you know, because they all role models, whether they like it or not. But we all look up to them, watch them every week, you know, and it is what it is.
But my whole problem, right, is the only thing about it is, like, you know, it was already etched in stone. Like, he was suspended for 2 weeks or 2 games, and the commissioner's like, I got it wrong. Okay, so next time, you know, like, be harsh, more harsh. Now, TMZ, I don't know what's going on with TMZ. It's like they just – their whole target is just to ruin people's lives and ruin people's careers. That's all they're doing is exposing people. And, like, I don't even know what's the, like, what do you get out of releasing that video? Well, I guess at the end of the day, drama sells, right? And that's what it's all about for them, because it's money and drama. But I don't know, man. I just don't think, like, that it should – how do you just go back on what you say and say, you know what? Because, look, think about it. They said the first offense is 6 weeks. So, if anything, at least do the six weeks, at least that. But to say you're suspended indefinitely and he might not even play anymore in the league and the Ravens cutting him is one thing. But for the commissioner to just indefinitely suspend him after he stated publicly that it'll be a 6-week suspension. So how do you go indefinitely? What's different from his situation than anybody else's? It's like they're trying to make, like you said, like a sacrificial lamb. Like they're trying to make an example out of him, and I don't think that's right, man. Like this is ridiculous, man. Like,
you're gonna see action by the NFLPA against the league. I mean, they have to sue just to defend their players, because you may disagree with the crime, but you, like we've all hit on it, you can't disagree. You can't agree with how they're treating him after the fact. You know, judges don't pull guys out of the cell and say, hey, I know I gave you 6 months, but now you're going to get 10 years just because, you know, people don't like what I gave you that 6 months. You know, you try a man and you stick with the decision you make, but, you know, Roger Goodell's whole commissioner reign has been up and down, whether it's been bounty gate, you know, suspending guys before evidence comes in. He's been a little shaky in this, and I think – he's just throwing Ray Rice as a shield out there to try and protect himself.
You had to get an applause for that, because I definitely couldn't agree more, man. And man, that whole situation is crazy. I could, you know what? I'm gonna just get away from the Ray Rice thing, because I promise y'all, I could literally go all night, because I really feel some type of way about that. So before. Yeah. Before I really, really start letting my feelings, if we turn this into the Ray Rice domestic violence show, we can move on to the next matchup. Miami Dolphins at Buffalo Bills. Now, for those who don't know, especially you guys, Danny Red Zone and Bobby G, we got a pool. And I wish that I would have came across you guys earlier, because you guys could be in the pool too. But you know, we base our picks based on what's going on in the league, how people are playing, and the Dolphins against the Bills. We all seen what the Dolphins did to the Patriots in week one, and so, like, everybody in the pool was picking the Dolphins to beat Buffalo. I think I'm the only one that picked Buffalo, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm glad I did, because they got me a W, and I'm really not surprised that Buffalo beat the Dolphins. How did you guys feel about that? Were you guys surprised about that? The Bills beat the Dolphins,
surprised.
And the Bills 2-0 now?
I am not surprised, because I've been looking at E.J. Manuel last season, and I noticed his progression on the field. And I looked at the guy, and the first thing I said was he has a lot of potential. So with Buffalo beating Miami in week two, I was totally not surprised. You know, the guy was like, he was like, what, 16 to 20, 25, I believe, 26, with 202 yards and one TD. You know, and I was totally unsurprised at that, because I was liking his the way he runs the team. I like his release, the way he snaps the ball. He's just awesome, man. I think he has a lot of potential.
I'm going to say And I'll just be honest with everybody, I picked before the game, even though I wasn't in the pool. But I was surprised. I didn't think Buffalo beat Chicago last week. I think Chicago beat Chicago with some classic Jay Cutler interceptions in that game. The offense was real conservative last week. You know, they ran behind Anthony Dixon, C.J. Spiller, and Fred Jackson. Three guys had about 50 yards. I didn't think they were going to replicate that versus Miami. But maybe we just over. I think I overrated Miami after week one. They generally play New England well in Miami. I think Brady's like 3-8 lifetime down there. So we just got really high on them. And Buffalo just did a great job. I think defensively they own the Miami offensive line. It was like last year for Tannehill. Every time he dropped back, there was a guy in his face, and that was the thing Miami really invested in the offseason was building up that offensive line. They went and got Brent Albers from the Chiefs, and he was going to be the left tackle of the future, and nothing looked different. He was running for his life, and when he had time, the accumulative pressure caught up to him, and he missed plays deep, he missed plays short, and I was shocked the Bills played so well. I was shocked EJ Manuel was so effective. I was shocked Sammy Watkins got wide open. T.J. Spiller, even when this game got close, took a 102-yard kickoff return to the house. It was a beautiful game by Buffalo. I don't think they can play much better, and I got to give them credit for it,
Yes.
Definitely. Mr. Dano?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Dano, you picked the Dolphins, didn't you? I think you picked the Dolphins to win that match.
Yeah, I picked the Dolphins.
Were you surprised with Buffalo's performance?
Yeah, I was surprised. I'm
afraid
I picked the wrong pick.
Could the Buffalo Bills be that sleeper? What you guys think? Could they be that sleeper and actually make the playoffs, make the wild card? Maybe it's a 6-seed.
I think in the league where QB is so important, EJ's just not there yet. But I picked them before the season to be 5-11, 6-10. And now if they go 8-8. Maybe lose out on the playoffs based on a tiebreaker. I could definitely see that happening now. But playoffs, I just don't see it yet.
They probably will be in that AFC East. They may finish probably second or third. I'm not going to say fourth now. I'm going to say – because I'm still, you can't, count out, New England and Tom Brady. But and Miami is looking great. But also, the Jets are very interesting. I know we're going to get into that. But they're looking pretty interesting in that AFC East right now. But, you never know what's going to happen. So, yeah, I'll give them probably that. I say they may finish third in that division.
Okay, I hear that. And what about that Jacksonville Jaguars at Washington Redskins game? I mean, I'm going to let y'all know, I picked the Redskins to win that game, but I didn't think it would be 41-10. I was thinking maybe, if I had to pick a score, it might have been, 23-17 Redskins. But they crushed the Jaguars. When I was watching that game, I fell asleep. I woke up, and I couldn't believe it. I was like, what? I had to pinch myself and see if I was dreaming. I couldn't believe the score. I was like, what? 40? What? That's crazy. Is it that the Jacksonville Jaguars are that bad? I mean, is Cousins just so much better than RG3 that they are actually a solid team when RG3 isn't quarterback? What do you guys think about that?
I was not surprised at the final score with Washington and the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Washington Redskins are a tough team in that NFC East. They're somebody you got to look out for. And, Robert Griffin III is just unbelievable. I don't know, how his little injury has going to affect him next week. But these guys they're ready. They're here. They are here, and they're ready to play. They are not playing around. They are really trying to make waves in that NFC East. They're really trying to get a spot in the playoffs this season.
Well, to answer your question, no, I was not shocked Jacksonville got destroyed. They should have got beat by 50 last week against the Eagles. But
wow.
That Jaguar defensive line. They should have. The Jaguar defensive line was great in that first half. Nick Foles got a little shaky, and they were able to capitalize and get ahead 17-0. But once things settled down, you saw what the Eagles did to them. Jacksonville doesn't have any players, any playmakers on either side of the ball. And that Redskins defense, I know it's only been the Texans and the Jaguars, but they look great. You know, Ryan Kerrigan, I think, had, what, 4.5 sacks this game and numerous pressures. And Chad Henne, you know, there's a reason he's getting paid the money he is right now. He's just going to stand in there this year and take that beating behind that bad offensive line and not, you know, damage Blake Bortles. They just went through that with Blaine Gabbert, so they're not going to throw a young quarterback to the Wolves again. But it's going to be a long year in Jacksonville. You know, they're just hoping for a good pick and get a good offensive lineman next year and start that Blake Bortles era. As far as Kirk Cousins, RG3 battle, I'm an RG3 guy, and that's hard to say as a Cowboy fan. You know, I don't easily admit that. I'm not sure what Kirk Cousins can bring to the team against a good defense, but, you know, in this game, he was excellent.
He was totally excellent. 250 yards, 22 of 33 with 2 touchdowns. So, yeah, what a great, you know, what a great great game for him over there. That was awesome. You know, after, you know, RG3 went out and, you know, he came in, he just he took over like, you know what, I got this. All right, we're going to do this. And, yeah, and they were, like, once again, they were playing in Jacksonville Jaguars. These guys, they're just not ready right now. They are not ready offensively or defensively. So, you know, I remember what happened to them last season. They was, like, dead last. So, you know, they're still dead last. So I'm sorry to say, but, yeah, it is what it is. Right.
So yeah. The Redskins, basically you're saying the Redskins don't stand a chance of making the playoffs even though they look good against Jacksonville.
Oh, no. I think the Redskins have a chance to win that division. I think the Eagles are definitely the better team.
To win the division? Really? Oh, you picked them over Philly?
No, I think they have a chance. I don't think they will. I just like the Redskins' defense. I think they're going to have the best defense in that division, and I don't like Philly's defense. And
I agree.
I know sometimes we get caught up with the numbers and the scoring and the touchdowns and the passing yards, but Seattle showed us last year that if you got that defense and that can go anywhere at any time and hold the offense down, you got a chance. So I don't think the Redskins will win, but I by no means sit here and say they're totally out of it and I'm looking past them.
Okay.
Well, I like the Philadelphia Eagles team, and I think they're going to win their division. After they did what they did to the Colts, they're going to be all right. I think they're going to win their division. They proved me they got a good team. Because anytime they came back on the Colts like they did and won that game, the Colts weren't supposed to lose that game last night.
All right, hold on, Mr. Daniel. We will get to that. We're just trying to see how you feel about the Redskins. We want to save that for last. How do you feel? Like, just what's your feelings on the Redskins? Do you think that Kirk Cousins is the answer for the Redskins and that they should just let RG3 just kind of sit it out and just maybe think about actually trading him? Or, like, you know, he definitely doesn't show the same explosiveness that he did in his rookie season. So it's an interesting battle. It seems like the Redskins play a lot better when Cousins is in.
I think Cousins is a good quarterback, but I think the R3-3 is the guy. I think he's the guy, and I would give him one more chance. Because just when you think he ain't going to do something, this man have a way of pulling tricks out of his hat.
Just when you think
he ain't going to do nothing, he can pull it out.
Yeah,
the only thing holding RG3 back.
I saw that play. Even if his leg was bad, he still made a tactical play. Y'all see that play?
Yeah, that was a heck of a play. Yeah.
That play was off the chart. Anytime you can do something like it, he still got it. I can't.
You definitely won't get that from Cousins.
He's not the guy.
He's not going to get that play from Cousins.
Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes you do, you know, you look at these players like RG3, and they kind of remind you of certain other players. Great players, big playmakers, but you got to stay in the game. You got to be able to play the entire game without getting injured all the time. And Kirk Cousins, he stepped up big. And, like, you know, he kind of reminded me of, like, Michael Vick, Griffin, you know, with the great player, but injuries, you know. Some guys are like Iron Man. Like E.R. Manning, you know what I'm saying? Who never miss a game. Who's always there, win, lose, or draw. Play hard, you know. You know, I do like seeing guys that will stay quarterbacks, that will stay in and be able to play regardless of what happens.
Yeah, you know, before we move on off the Redskins, I just want to say, you know, a lot of people clown Mike Shanahan for taking Kirk Cousins in the fourth round after he drafted RG3, but he kind of had an idea that maybe RG3 wouldn't hold up underneath the brutal regular seasons in the NFL. And I think, you know, some credit should go to Mike Shanahan for thinking forward ahead. You know, he got ridiculed and thrown out of Washington last season.
I would definitely had to agree with you on that. That was a good choice, and I think that that's
a good investment.
Yeah. I think it'll end up definitely kind of being that like that kind of like blessing in the sky, so to speak, where nobody was really thinking anything big out of that. And who knows? Maybe Cousins actually helps them get to the playoffs. It's going to be interesting to see. Now, what do you guys think about Dallas at Tennessee? A lot of people were counting Dallas out after week one, and Romo was looking like the Romo we know him for being late in December and finishing 8-8, you know. And then, you know, week two comes around, and they go to Tennessee. Tennessee had a big win in week one, and the tables turn, and Dallas goes on the road to Tennessee and get a big win in Tennessee. How'd you guys feel about that? Did you see it coming? Were you not surprised? How'd you feel about it?
Totally not surprised. You know, the Cowboys, you know, they can pull out a win. They're, I would say, probably like a streaky team. They make big plays. If they can continue to make big plays, they can get wins. But sometimes, you know, at the same time that they're making the big plays, they make big turnovers. And, you know, that, you know, sometimes more turnovers will cost them a game. And, yeah, but this time, yeah, I'm not surprised that they won like this. But I'm also wouldn't be surprised if they lost. You know, they got a pretty decent offensive line. You know, Romo, you know, he's a guy who can, you know, sit back in the pocket and make plays, or he can run a little bit. So, you know, he can do. I wouldn't be surprised either way, but it just it's. I don't know what to say, but they've been struggling a lot lately, and coming up short. They've been coming up short, and that's the problem right there. They've been coming up short too many times.
You know, I'm a Dallas fan. Let the record say that. And anybody who watches this team or is a fan of this team knows they're hot one week, cold the next, like you said, Bobby G. And
yes,
if you look at that Niner game, they outplayed the Niners. And they turned the ball over constantly, gave them easy field position, and the Niners took advantage of it. You've got to give credit to them for that. But that's what the Cowboys do. They'll play a team that's better than them, outplay them, and then turn the ball over and lose a heartbreaker. And then they'll go the next week on the road when everyone's kind of counting them out, and they'll beat that team. They'll dominate them. And that's what they did to the Titans. I think as a Cowboy fan looking at this game, what you take most from it is that finally the offensive coordinators and Jason Garrett decided to give DeMarco Murray the ball and say, look, you know, we're going to build the offense around you. No more 40 passes from Romo. And he did a great job, 29 carries, 167. But the most important thing, the most impressive thing to me was his longest run was 22 yards. So there wasn't like a 60-yard gain, 80-yard gain. It was a consistent 9, 8, 7. They controlled the clock, kept that bad defense off the field.
Yes.
And then let Romo make high-percentage throws underneath and not make everything happen to be some gunslinger pass in this double coverage. And if the Cowboys can somehow finally stick to that game plan and say, hey, this is how we're going to play from now on, they possibly could be a dangerous team. But knowing the Cowboys, they won't do that. And that's
Yes, no doubt. They definitely have the tools over there, man. But they just got to, you know, it's all about making your plays. And don't beat yourself. You can't beat yourself, man. A lot of times I see a lot of teams beating themselves a lot, you know. And,
yeah,
you know, that they have to learn how to stop beating themselves.
Mr. Dano?
Yeah, I agree with him on that. They can't beat themselves. And like I said, the Dallas Cowboys, they're unpredictable. One day up 1 minute and they're down the next minute. But if they can put themselves together and play, they might be all this season. But they got to prove that they're not a fluke. They got to prove that they're legit. Once they do
Dez
that,
Bryan,
they'll be all right then.
Definitely. And Dez Bryan, he's like the furnace of the offense. I mean, he talks a lot, but he backs it up. 10 catches, 103, a touchdown. Without Dez Bryant, I'm not sure where they would be, because like they need that, because Romo doesn't really. I see them like kind of yelling at people. They do the wrong route sometimes, but I feel like Dez Bryant is really the engine for that offense. I feel like he's the one that gets people fired up. And
totally agree.
He can, yeah. I think that he can actually be the difference maker as far as the offense. I can't. So I don't know about the defense. That's, I don't know. That's a whole other story. But I think that he can actually keep that, help that offense stay afloat and actually make some noise.
Yes, no doubt.
That's
the probably
case.
Be in
we all
see
what Ray Lewis did when he came back to. I don't think the Ravens get to the Super Bowl. In what was that, 2013? I don't think the Ravens get to the Super Bowl without Ray. Y'all seen when Ray Lewis came back? I don't even think they would have beat the Colts, to be honest. Ray Lewis came back, all of a sudden they were on fire. Like, that stuff
yes.
is contagious. Like, when you got that person that's just amping everybody up, that stuff is contagious and tends to make everybody play a little better.
I feel you, Tay, but Raheem Moore playing the worst deep safety defense on the Hail Mary also helped too, bro, because that was – I'd never seen a safety play that bad. How you let Jacoby Jones get behind you for 70
oh
yards in like
goodness.
2 seconds.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, man, that was crazy.
That
I would have hated to have been him after that game. That
so
was crazy. Like, that was, wow. That was crazy.
Oh,
and, you know, I'm a Ravens fan, so I loved it. It was just destined. Ray Lewis comes back from an injury that should have ended his season. His last year, he's retiring, and they actually – spectacular play in the overtime and beat the powerhouse Broncos and get to the Super Bowl. That was just written in stone. It was just, nothing was going to stop that from happening. That was just meant to happen. That was, it was just meant. It was
no doubt.
Meant.
Yes, that was
and,
yeah. Well,
what about the Cardinals? The Cardinals, Arizona Cardinals at New York Giants. The Cardinals are an interesting team. Last year, nobody saw it coming. We kind of got a taste of the Cardinals are a pretty good team, or are they a fluke? But last year, nobody – what was it, 10-6 last year? Nobody was expecting that. Almost made the playoffs. And now they're 2-0 this year. And we're starting to see it. And they were the only team to beat Seattle in, like, the last 2 years in Seattle. The Cardinals are an interesting
so
team. How you guys feel about the Cardinals, man?
Well – Chicago, like you said, Chicago beat the Super Bowl champions. Arizona beat the Super Bowl champions, Seattle Seahawks. And they came out to MetLife Stadium, and they handled their business against the Giants. I mean, you cannot play against Arizona and missing passes and just beating yourself all day, because they will make you pay every time. That's just the way they're doing it right now. You know, I have hats off to Eli. Even the interception that was thrown, it wasn't his fault. You know, it hit off of the receiver there, and it got picked off. But he's been throwing the ball very well. It was just the fact that these guys was not, his receivers wasn't, you know, he wasn't dropping a lot of balls. Even a biggest receiver, Victor Cruz, you know, he dropped, you know, at least three of them or something like that. That's a big plate. So I was like,
yeah.
Wow, you know?
I know the Panthers, the Bengals, and the Seahawks are all better defenses, but I don't think there's a defense I like to watch more than the Cardinals. They basically just say, we're going to blitz and cover you with Tyrann Mathieu, Antonio Cromartie, and Patrick Peterson. And we're going to man up and just beat you all day. It's fun to watch because you don't see teams play like that anymore. Most corners get over-the-top safety help. I didn't think they'd be this good. You know, they lost Darnell Dockett for the season. Darrell Washington got suspended for the year. Carlos Dansby is in Cleveland now. I thought some regression just because, no, they're no longer going to surprise people. But you go on Monday night, come back against the Chargers at home, and then – say what you want about how bad the Giants are, because they're a bad football team right now, Bobby G. I'm sorry. You know, I hurts to hear it, but you go East Coast as a West Coast team, it's always a tough game, and you beat them at 1 o'clock, you know, the odds say you're not going to get it done. And even with the backup quarterback, Drew Stanton, they found a way to pull this out. You know, you got to look at the coaching. You got to look at coaching, man. They got Bruce Arians is coaching him up. This guy's been a lifelong assistant, getting his shot, and he's making the most of it. I like the Cardinals. I wasn't a believer after all the defensive injuries and suspensions, like I said, but after 2 weeks, I mean, it's time to start believing.
Yes, yes.
It's Mr. Dano?
Yeah. I was surprised with that game, the Cardinals. I was just surprised. They're a good team. I think they're going to be a team you got to watch out for this year. I think they're going to go a long way. I definitely think so.
They're showing that they definitely have potential. I can't wait to see them go against Seattle and go against the 49ers. If we get to see them play twice, that division is crazy right now, man. That division, that's the division in the NFC to me. Like, that is the division of the NFC. Like, that might be the best division in football, y'all. Do y'all think that they might have the best division in football, the NFC West?
Oh, yeah, easily. I think it's far and away the best division.
Yeah.
I mean, the Rams, they're not a great team, but defensively they can still get after you. And I know we're going to talk about their game later, but there's no easy games in that division. And like you said, all those teams play each other twice. The six best games of the year might be Cardinals, Niners, Seahawks, Niners, and Seahawks, Cardinals, you know. So, I can't wait to see all those games.
Yeah, that's crazy. Bobby G, you think they're the best division of football?
Oh, what was that?
You think the NFC West is the best division of football?
The NFC West is very, very good division. No question about that. You know, when looking at teams like San Francisco, it was a tough loss. It was a tough loss with the Niners the other day. You know, it was a tough loss. But I'm still looking at guys like Kaepernick and Gore. Like, what you going to – he's got to be, like, the best running back in the NFL right now at this point. The guy is just unbelievable. He just makes people miss left and right. You know, he pretty much does what he wants to do on the field. And Kaepernick, what can you say about that? You know, I see them definitely in the postseason. You know, and they're gonna, you know, I can actually see them right now, and they got something to prove. You gotta remember, you know, how they lost the last couple of years. They definitely got something to prove, so they're gonna be ready to, you know, they're gonna be ready to do their thing. So, a lot of guys, you know, do not sleep on. I don't count out the Niners, man. That's like my biggest NFC West team right there. So,
okay. Yeah. But before we move on to this next matchup, I got to ask y'all this. I just need everybody's opinion real quick, and we'll go in the same order we've been going in. Bobby G, Danny Rizzone, then Mr. Dano. Is Patrick Peterson a better cornerback than Richard Sherman?
Richard Sherman?
Is Patrick Peterson better than Richard Sherman?
Is he better than Sherman?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, man. I'm going to have to say, yeah, because of the experience. You got to also remember this. The guy was injured to the point where they thought he wasn't even going to play again, you know, and he just came back and just, like, shattered records, you know, coming back off his injury, you know. So, yeah, I really, you know, I have to give the edge to Peterson all day.
You asking me? I'm biased. I'm not gonna lie. I'm a big Richard Sherman guy. I know some of it's a scheme, but you give me a 6'2", 6'3" corner who can lock down little guys and big guys, and knows just as smart as he is athletic. I'm taking him every time.
Okay, Mr. Dano.
I agree with what he just said. Definitely, I agree with that.
Richard Sherman, I know you're a Richard Sherman fan because you're a Seahawks fan, so.
Oh, yeah. That was.
I can't think about Richard Sherman and not think about that NFC Championship last year and that post-game speech. That was hilarious, like. That's just going to always play in my head every time. Oh, man, I can't wait to see the Seahawks in the Niners play. That is going to be funny.
He went all pro wrestler on him in the interview.
Yeah. It's hilarious. Like, it's like you would have thought it was scripted. But people say that Patrick Peterson, a lot of people say, like, experts say actually Peterson is better because he can actually, they say Sherman sticks to one side and he doesn't necessarily guard the best receiver. Whereas though Patrick Peterson, like Darrell Revis, will guard whoever's the best receiver on the team, lock him down for the whole game. And people say that that's not Richard Sherman's game plan, so he's not always on the best receiver. He's just always on that side of the field, which tends to get locked down. I mean, week one, Aaron Rodgers didn't throw a play one time, and that's Aaron Rodgers. But a lot of people say Peterson, and some people think Revis is better too. I'm a Revis fan. I just now started really seeing Cardinals games because Cardinals games tend to not really come on that much, but now that they're good, you might start seeing them more. I would say, to me, I've never seen, like, someone do what Darrell Revis does since Deion Sanders, to be honest with you. But since his injuries, I don't know. I can't wait to, like, really see some full Patriots games and see what Revis really does on the field now after coming back from the injury. But as of right now, what I would have to say, Revis just from what he's done. But Sherman, what he did last year was unbelievable. 8 picks, locking down the whole side of the field. He made the play to send the Seahawks to the Super Bowl. Sherman, man, he's something special, man. That's for sure. And with that said, Patriots-Vikings. Speaking of Revis, Patriots-Vikings. Now, the Vikings went crazy in week one, and the Patriots were probably the upset of week one. And the tables completely turned when New England came to Minnesota. Were you guys expecting that, or did you think it would be a tighter matchup?
I thought it was the tighter matchup than what it was. That I thought was going to be a much better matchup. So I was kind of surprised with that, But, you know, that's the thing about what I love about NFL football. I mean, you know, like really, literally, you know, you got to come to play every week in and out. So if you don't, these are the things that can happen. So, yeah. Yep, so regardless to, you know, Matt, you can be Seattle Seahawks. You got to play your game. I mean, you cannot let up. You got to play your game 4 quarters. So, yeah, you know, so that's just pretty much the way I look at it.
You know, we're going to get into Adrian Peterson's deactivation here later, but that really changed the outlook of this game. The Patriots, I think last year, were 28th against the run. Week one, they couldn't stop no Sean Moreno. So they didn't really alleviate the problems that plagued them last season. And first drive, Vikings ran the ball real well. The backup running back, Masaieta, had a couple good runs, even caught a 25-yard touchdown pass in the flat to the house. And it looked like, you know, the Vikings are here to give the Patriots a good game. Patriots got a touchdown on the way back, and after that, the Vikings decided to unleash Matt Castle, but that's never a good thing. He threw 4 picks and caught 2 on back-to-back drives. That set up the Patriots in really good field position. The Patriots got a field goal block. They ran that back to the house. To me, the when I look at this game, if I'm a Patriots fan, I'm worried because this is once again, this offense has proven they can't go down the field on people quickly. Everything's draws and screens and little misdirection plays and short little 6-yard passes they try to run out. They can't make a big play, and I just can't see them unless they figure something out. Maybe Aaron Dobson finally steps up to live up to the second-round potential he has. I can't see them against a good defense moving this ball enough to score points. You just cannot dink and dunk your whole way down the field, the NFL. And I love Tom Brady. I'm big on the Patriots, but he's lost a little bit off that fastball down the field. He just, I don't know if it's Julie Edelman being short or what it is, but he just cannot connect on anything over 15 yards. So the score says 30-7 Patriots. If you didn't watch this game, you're like, all right, well, the Patriots are back. But looking at this game and breaking it all down, there's a lot of things to be concerned about in New England. So, but the NFL, like you said, Bobby G, you win, move on, call it a day, and hope to figure it out next week.
Yes, there you go.
Wow.
Mr. Dano?
Yeah, I'm concerned about the Patriots, too. They're not the team they used to be. I like the Patriots, but they're not, I don't know. They used to be a dominant team.
When the Patriots face a defense like the Bengals or the Broncos, yeah, I don't know if they play I haven't looked at the whole schedule. I don't know if they play the Bengals, but I'm pretty sure they play the Broncos because the NFL has a tendency of making Tom Brady and Peyton Manning play every year. It's only right. You got to do it. It's only right. So,
yeah. It's like Christmas.
Man, that Denver defense, yeah, they better, their offense better be ready to score some points against that offense, for real.
Well, the Patriots played the Bengals last year. Go ahead, Mr. Dano.
I feel the Denver Broncos play, and they're not the team need like they used to be needed. I don't know what's wrong with the Denver Broncos.
All right, but hold off on the Broncos because we're going to get to them. Hold off on that. Danny Reyes, I think you was making a point.
The Patriots played the Bengals last year, and the Bengals ate them up. I think Tom Brady had 6 points in that game. I think they may have gotten a garbage touchdown late, but they couldn't move the ball on them last year. They were all in Tom Brady's grill. Reggie Nelson turned into a fifth DN. Look at the AFC Championship game, how the Broncos played the Patriots. They just jammed them up, and Broncos defense last year wasn't something to ride home about, but just with no fear that somebody's going to run by you for a big play, you can sit on those short routes. And, you know,
this is true.
If you're sitting on short routes, that wide receiver screen you like that Tom Brady loves to throw, he's been throwing since 02, is not as effective.
Right.
That's a good point. What do you guys think about the man, this was a shocker for me. I'm not going to lie. The Saints going to Cleveland and taking that L. How'd you guys feel about that? I'm not going to say it was a shocker, but I was kind of surprised. I was kind of surprised that the Saints would lose to Cleveland.
Yeah, that was kind of – it was a surprise in a way. It was kind of a surprise, but at the same time, I've been looking at teams like Cincinnati and like teams like Cleveland, and, yeah, these guys are stepping their game up. They really haven't lately, you know, the past couple of years or so. They've been coming along. They've been getting some nice pieces over there defensively, and, you know, they've been holding teams, you know, they've been holding teams, giving the offense a chance to get in the game and a chance to score, you know. So I've been looking at that. So, yeah, I'm feeling it, man. These guys are coming, they're more and more interesting every time, every week go by, you know, looking like, wow, you know. So, yeah, I was kind of surprised, but at the same time, I wasn't surprised because of, you know, the way they've been progressing over the past couple of years.
I know people listening not going to believe me, but I was not surprised at all. I called this one. Saints had lost four in a row.
Not at all.
Saints had lost four in a row on the road prior to this game. They averaged about 10 points less outside of domes, and the Browns have Justin Gilbert, first-round pick at corner. He's played real well so far. They have Joe Hayden, as we all know, is already locked down. They brought in Carlos Dansby from Arizona, who I was bigging up earlier. He's a big-time player. And what they did early on in this game was get after Breeze. He was unable to get to the receiver. They could only start moving the ball once the Saints started running it. Ingram looked great. That kind of got the Saints offense on track. And in the second half, they finally rediscovered Jimmy Graham. The Browns played great. Even they got the ball deep inside their own zone. Their own territory with about 2 minutes to go, and they drove the field and got a big field goal. The Browns have – I like the way they're coached. I like Mike Pettine as the head coach. I like Kyle Shanahan as the offensive coordinator. It's a shame he and RG3 couldn't put their differences aside. That could have been a great combination that both guys would have reached new heights with each other. I don't think the Browns are going to shock too many more people, but this was a game I thought that was tailor-made for them to get. Too bad they don't have Josh Gordon, or they could make some real serious noise in the league this year. But by serious noise, that's how Brown speak for being 9-7. So.
Yeah, that was a great win. Great win for Cleveland, you know, over the Saints, you know, with the guy Billy Cundiff with the 29-yard field goal.
I hate him.
Like,
what?
Yeah.
I hate Billy Cundiff because he caused the Ravens to go to the Super Bowl when he missed. Because he missed that stupid, what was it, like 30-yard field goal
yarder.
Or something he missed in the AFC Championship against the Patriots like 2 years ago.
Yep.
Oh, I will always hate him for that. Like, he's not welcome here. He's not welcome in B-more. Like, we see him, we run him out of here. Like, seriously.
Who was the receiver that dropped the touchdown pass?
I don't even remember his name. That's how bad it was. I literally erased him. I did the Men in Black thing with the flash thing and erase your memory. I don't remember his name. I really don't. I forgot.
It's on the tip of my tongue.
From, like,
I know
Buffalo.
You
I think he came
Bills.
From the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah,
that's all I remember.
He did come from Buffalo. I just remember him dropping that pass. I had some money on that game, so Billy Cundiff hurt me too. And he used to kick for the Cowboys, so, you know, we got a little extra beef there, too.
Crazy. Somebody's TV's kind of loud. Who got their TV on? I can't hear somebody's TV on. Moving along, man. But, the Saints 0-2, man. That's crazy. Everybody get that act together. Sir.
Yeah, that's a shocker. That's definitely a shocker. I think it's 88% of the teams that go 0-2 don't make the playoffs. Carolina's already 2-0. We could talk.
And they lost to the Falcons already. I got Carolina winning that division, to be honest. You know, we coming up.
I didn't think so. I didn't think so before the season, but sometimes you got to reevaluate as the season goes along.
No doubt, man. What about the Falcons? The Falcons at the Bengals. You know, we was talking a little about the Bengals already, but they're monstrous. Defense, 24-10, Bengals dominated. I'm not surprised at the outcome or the score, to be honest. Like, how'd you guys feel about that matchup?
Once again, just like kind of similar to the Browns-Saints game, Bengals, another up-and-coming team, Falcons. It is so funny because, the Falcons just played what a great overtime game last week when they beat the Saints. But then, here you go, the Bengals' defense just held them to 10 points, this week, week two. And, like I said, what can you say about the defense? And, just a great game, man, just a great game. Guy Dalton, he was pretty decent himself. He was 15-23 with 252 yards and one TD. So, not bad at all. Good job.
I know one thing. I know the Bengals need to figure out their red zone offense. They can't keep kicking field goals. Mike Nugent missed three in this game in the first half. That would have made this score even worse than what it was. This wasn't a good matchup coming into it. Falcons are down to the third option at left tackle against, Carlos Dunlap and Geno Atkins up front for the Bengals. That's a recipe for disaster. And then Bengals had no mercy. They blitzed all game. They had no fear of Julio Jones or Roddy White, basically because they knew they were going to get to Matt Ryan before he could find those guys. And looking at that game, Ryan was running from his life from the beginning to the end. It was really a chippy game, too. You'd have thought this was a division rivalry. There was a lot of late hits, a lot of trash talking, punches in the pile, pushing guys after the play. It was really exciting to see that much animosity between two teams. Falcons, I was shocked they beat the Saints last week. I don't expect much going forward from them. They have no pass rush at all. Andy Dalton was back there with a clean shirt the entire game. Giovanni Bernard did whatever he wanted. They have real issues defensively. Secondary-wise, they can hang. They got a lot of good players back there. Desmond Trufant, Willie Moore. But without a pass rush in 2014 NFL, you can't guard guys for 4 or 5 seconds and expect to hold them back.
Yeah, Bernard was just unbelievable, man. 27 carries for 90 yards. He was averaging like 3.3 with one TD. So that was just, wow. He did whatever he wanted to do with the Atlanta Falcons defense. So he was just having fun up there.
He had some really good cuts, too. It was like, I don't know if he's watching LeSean McCoy tapes before this game or what. He had some nice set him up jukes, some leap over, some guys going low on him. It was good to see this guy come out. I thought one of the Bengals' problems last year was too much Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and not enough Geo. And then the playoffs, that kind of bit him because then they had to rely on Andy Dalton. But I'm pretty sure on this podcast there'll be enough times for me to kill Andy Dalton. But after this week, we're going to let him go.
Yep,
yep.
Mr. Dino, you're clearly a Ravens fan. I know it must hurt for you to see that the Bengals are kind of taking over the AFC North and becoming a dominant team. How you feeling about the Bengals, Mr. Dano?
They're a pretty good team, but that's for now, right? They ain't heard the last of the Ravens. As they say, Saturday, they ain't sung yet. They ain't heard the last of the Ravens. The Ravens going to get it done next time. It will be a rematch. And the Ravens will make the Cincinnati Bengals pay. They will make them pay.
That's going to be interesting to see. Something tells me that our fellow co-host might disagree with you. You guys disagree with Mr. Dano?
Yeah.
Or do you guys think the Ravens can actually take the Bengals?
If the Ravens go 8-8, I'd be shocked.
It's going to be
interesting.
I will say that.
Wow.
It will be interesting.
No, don't have me say
don't believe in Joe Flacco.
Look, I don't want that comment to prevent me from being invited back. You know what I mean? I just want to let you know. I always trust you.
Well, I'm going to tell you this, and we talk about football, but I may as well mention it. Real just clinched the division, and that overflow is getting ready to flow on the Ravens. That winning overflow is coming. And when it comes and come down on the Ravens, they're going to tear his ears up. Take my word,
issue
the
with
overflow
the,
is coming.
My issue with the Ravens
that
is that
overflow dry. That's going to be it.
Joe Flacco was the best player on that team. And if Joe Flacco is your best player, you can't be that good of a team. I'm sorry. I mean, on that Super Bowl team, he was maybe the fourth, fifth best player. Suggs was still operating at a high level. Ray Lewis is Ray Lewis. People forget Anquan Boldin was ridiculous. He saved Flacco so many picks, got him so many clutch first downs. And I got to give Flacco credit for, you know, getting the ball to him. But Flacco hasn't been the same since Anquan left. And
that's true.
You know, maybe he'll prove
what about Steve Smith, though? How you think Steve
Smith?
Look, he had two pretty solid games, his first two games. He had a lot of drop passes in that first game. But he made big plays in both games. You think Steve Smith could fill those Bolton shoes?
I think he can in a different way. I think more like over the middle, slant,
yeah,
and deep balls. But that third and seven right at the line, throw it high, Anquan's going to out-jump the corner. I don't think Steve can do that. But if Gary Kubiak can design Steve Smith open and Steve can get the numbers, you know, Flacco can be a better quarterback. I've been wrong before in football, as we all have been. I don't see that right now. But time will tell.
Definitely. What about, and I'll just end with this, the Ravens go as far as Flacco allows them to go as far as his play. But the Bengals, but me being a Ravens fan, based on what I've been seeing, it's hard to say that, but I don't believe in the Steelers. But I believe in the Bengals, man. It is what it is, man. I think the Bengals win that division. I don't want them to, but I think they will. Now, what about Detroit Lions at Carolina Panthers? Carolina, we know, we've seen what they did last year. They won a division. It was a tight squeeze with them in New Orleans, but they pulled it off. And I think Carolina is pretty much that same solid team from last year. I think Carolina definitely wins the division, and I'm not really surprised at that score. Detroit is okay. I think Carolina is just a better team. How do you guys feel?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I was a little concerned at first about Cam Newton and, you know, with the rib injury and everything, how was it going to affect him during the game? But, you know, when he got into the game, even during practice, he was kind of, like, unsure. But he got in there, and it's like when he got in the game, it's like, man, he just became Cam Newton all over again. He just did what he do. Cam Newton just did Cam Newton, and, wow, what a great game, you know. He was on fire, you know, with the 22-34. Guy had like 281 yards with the TD. And also in receiving, man, you got to give it to my man Olsen. You know, the guy has 72 yards, averaging like 12 yards, you know, receiving. So that was just, to me, that was what made the game what it was. This is why they was able to get the win. And also, defensively, you know, what can you say? Detroit Lions came off a, you know, big win, you know, over the Giants, you know, last week. And there you go. You know, they playing Carolina, and, you know, they got held down pretty much. So they got held down to 10 points. They wasn't able to do what they was doing, you know, with the Giants. So hats off to Carolina Panthers.
Remember how we were talking about I was wrong in football sometimes? I thought this team was going to win 5 games. I thought they lost Steve Smith and bring in Jericho Cotri and Jason Avant, and they lost Jordan Gross, their stud left tackle. He retired, and they shuffled around. They didn't bring in too many other pieces to fill in the holes that they created because of the salary cap issues. And, you know, I forgot how good that defense is. I mean, Luke Kuechly, you know, Greg Hardy suspended that last game, and that rest of that front four, just nasty. But just they're probably the second-best defense in the league when you consider the fact that they rank so high and they got to play Drew Brees and Matt Ryan 4 times a year.
Exactly.
But this game was so odd because the Panthers really didn't get to Stafford. And I think before the game you said, hey, how can they beat the Lions? They got to get to Stafford. They really covered well. I know the numbers that say Calvin had 80 yards and Golden Tate had a good game, but a lot of the times Stafford dropped back and there was nothing. And he had to check down, throw it away, run. So I definitely didn't think they'd be able to cover the Lions receivers as well as they did. And the fact that Cam Newton and the Panthers moved the ball through the air was another shocking thing to me. I mean, this is a running team. They have D'Angelo Williams. He didn't play, but James Stewart, Mike Tolbert, this team will run. Cam Newton, you know, can't forget about him. They will run the ball all day on you. And they just dropped back, and they just kept passing. They kept passing. And I think the Lions really were shocked at that, and they couldn't adjust. Their kicker missed a big field goal early. But
they was expecting the Panthers to run, and the Panthers just did it through the air. Exactly.
Yeah, that's great. That's great coaching. You know, it's like somebody expecting you to do one thing, you give them something else, and they know how to adjust. I just can't believe this score in this game. This is definitely not something I saw coming.
There you go.
Because Detroit has a solid offense. I mean, with Stafford and Megatron, that connection is like one of the best quarterback to wide receiver. No, I say maybe the best in football because, to me, by far, Megatron is he's the closest to Jerry Rice, I think, right now. Like, he's, like, by far, like, the best receiver to me. I like Andy Dalton, but Megatron, to me, is just I meant to say A.J. Green. Wow.
He's definitely one of the top. Megatron's one of the top.
I said Andy Dalton. but Megatron is another level, and I mean, you expect the Lions to put up more than 7 points, regardless of who they play, just because of that connection alone. But man, we like you guys were saying, like Seattle showed us, like, you know, last year what a solid defense can do. You know, regardless of how good the offense is, when you put the number one defense up against the number one offense, I think it favors the defense, especially if the defensive team has a decent offense that can put up some points. Obviously, the Panthers can do that. Cam Newton can make plays with his legs. He can make plays on the pass. He can pass on a scramble. Throw passes across his body. I mean, I think the Panthers got what it takes to definitely win that division again. And, you know, with that said, what about the – now, unfortunately, you know, it comes matches like this. The Rams against the Bucks is probably, like, the least exciting match I have to talk about. All I can really say is I don't even know what to say. The Rams won. That's just one of those things. Like, yeah, the Rams won. Next, like.
Hey, listen to me. I was waiting for us to get to this game. This was the most exciting game of the week. I swear to you, I watched every game.
I didn't get to see it, but, you know, those two teams just have a tendency of just not being, like, fun to watch. Like, what was good about this game?
I'll tell you this, the first quarter I turned this game on, I said, man, I've watched like 10 games already. I'm like, damn, I'm just going to skip this one. We're not going to talk about it. But all of a sudden, the Rams come out, they get an open and drive touchdown. Tampa Bay comes down, they get an open and drive touchdown. It's 7-7, and he's like, all right, this could be something. So I stick with it. Man, there was so many like highlight, crazy plays you just don't see. I mean, the Rams blocked the field goal. They blocked the punt. Josh McCown had two rushing touchdowns. Like, it was just things you just never expect. They had a lightning stop halfway through this game. It was just insane.
Wow.
And then Austin Davis, with 2 minutes to go, about 3 minutes to go, at his own 9-yard line, leads them all the way to field goal range, down two. They get the field goal, kick it. They had to get a 4th-and-7 somewhere along the way. The play before the field goal, I'm going to back it up. The play before the field goal, he gets, helmet to the chest, stands in there, makes, you know, a Troy Aikman-esque throw to Austin Pettis, who gets hit on the other end. They finally set it up, knock down the field goal. 38 seconds. Bucks get the ball. Josh McCown finds Rainey for a little dump off. They come up, they spike. Then Mike Evans over the middle, about 25 yards. And they're all running up to the line to to spike the ball so they can kick a field goal and possibly win the game. But Mike Evans is hurt, and they have no timeouts. So the trainers have to come on the field to attend to this guy being hurt. And if you don't have timeouts, what they do is they run 10 seconds off the clock automatically, and there were 9 seconds to go in the game, and the Bucks lost in field goal range without taking a chance to kick a field goal. It was the craziest thing.
It do sound exciting now that you break it down like that. And you know what's crazy? Speaking of Evans, I just had a light bulb go off in my head. Lee Evans was that receiver's name for the Ravens that dropped. I just wanted to,
yes.
You know, we couldn't figure out his name. His name was Lee Evans.
I'm glad you got that, bro. I'd have been Googling it as soon as we got done.
Yeah, this is Lee Evans, bastard. But anyway, that sounds pretty, it's probably exciting now that you break it down like that. That's just one of those games. Those two teams don't get a lot of national play. Like, they don't, get prime time much. Bobby G, did you see that game? Did you catch that?
The Bucks game?
Yeah, Bucks Rams.
Oh man, I saw some of it. I saw the ending of it where Mike Evans was slow getting up after the 29-yard reception. You know, so that was pretty much a wrap after that. But hats off to Davis. This is why I love NFL too, because you know a lot of these teams that you know we look at and we watch and we think we look at teams and we automatically think they're going to be the division leaders and stuff like that. And then you see games like this, the Rams and the Bucks, and it was just a very exciting game and a game that you probably thought wouldn't have been that exciting to watch. And it just, has you on the edge of your seat, you know. And so, yeah, I love stuff like that. That's why, you know, the NFL, it is what it is. So, wow.
Well said. And What about this Seattle? This might have been the upset of the week for a good majority of people. The Seattle Seahawks go to San Diego and they catch an L. And I mean, I don't know, man. How'd y'all feel about that? Like, I in the pool, I definitely picked Seattle to win. It was a clean sweep. Everybody picked Seattle to win. We all took L's for that, the whole pool. How'd you guys feel about that? Were you guys surprised that San Diego were able to take down the Super Bowl defending champions?
Wow, Andre, that was, you know what? You know, I was not really too surprised. Because San Diego is just one of those teams that, you know, you just can't count out. You know, it's just, it was that, you know, it was just crazy, man. You know, that whole week two was so interesting. A lot of these games that happened, it was just very interesting, man. It's like, unbelievably interesting with the, you know, the teams that you may have expected to win. And then, I mean, it was a two-possession game, you know. It was a 9-point win for the Chargers over the Seahawks. But the Seahawks is, you know, I still see them making it to the conference finals and everything. But, you know, what a great win for the Chargers, man. And I was somewhat surprised, but I wasn't surprised because of like I said before, man. Like, it's just unbelievable. It just goes to show that you got to come to play week in and week out. And you got to figure out, like, you know, how to play certain teams. You know what I mean? How to play certain – it's all about the matchups, too. You know, it's definitely about matchups. You know, you have to, you know, you got to know what you want to do or how you're going to approach a team. You know, or are you going to rush the quarterback, the pass rush, or are you going to drop back and just play and just defend? Like, you have to know what you're going to do, and you really do have to know. You have to have a game plan. So, yeah.
I know this is my first night on this podcast, but anybody that knows me, and I'm pretty sure I got some friends listening and downloading this, they know how I feel about the Seattle Seahawks defense. I think this is an all-time defense last year. I think you could say 85 Bears, 2,000 Ravens.
Exactly what I was about to say.
85 Bears, 2,000 Ravens, and Seattle and the 13 Seattle Seahawks, in my opinion, the three best defenses I've ever seen in my life. I was shocked. What I take from this game, though, is whether San Diego has created a blueprint on how to beat Seattle. You're not going to beat them deep. You're not going to beat them running the ball. But if you can find a way to get the ball to your tight end and hit those little short crossing routes, you kind of take away, you know, some of that athleticism and some of that, some of the ability, excuse me, of Earl Thomas and Ken Chancellor to play deep and take away anything over 15 yards. Chargers played well. The story of this game wasn't, you know, yards or catches. It was time of possession. I think the Chargers had the ball for 42 minutes of the game. They just did not let Seattle's offense on the field, and they did not let Seattle's defense off the field. We talk a lot about the Seattle secondary, but their pass rush is just as vicious, and they couldn't get to Rivers. And when they did,
it starts
with
the pass rush, actually. The pass rush is what allows the secondary to be so good, you ask me. Look at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and this team does it well. They work hand-in-hand with that. They do it perfectly. And Rivers avoided it every time. What do you have? I think 11 rushes in this game. 11 rushing attempts. Just get, and all that was him just not getting sacked, keeping the play alive, staying out of long third downs. And he made a couple passes to Antonio Gates in this game that was just, you know, sometimes we forget about Phillip Rivers. But, man, when he's going, he's up there with anybody. And they had it going this game. You know, all that being said, you know, I was a little disappointed with the Seattle offense. They had the ball twice in the fourth with a chance to go get the game, and they didn't get it done. I think for the first time we saw Russell Wilson and boys having to play a perfect offensive game. A lot of times they get to relax because they know the D is going to get stops and every possession is not so important to them. But this game, San Diego made every single possession the Seattle Seahawks had important. And down the stretch, you know, we talk about Russell Wilson and his clutch. They couldn't get it done, and they could have bailed the defense out, and they didn't. But credit to the Chargers.
Yeah, no question, man. Defense is definitely part of the game. But when you keep the ball out of the quarterback's hand, then that's what happens. You know, when you control the ball and control the minutes, you control the ball most of the game, and you keep the Seattle Seahawks offense on the bench, then that's probably, like you said, it could be the blueprint to how to beat them. Just keeping them off the field to begin with, and just keeping the defense on there, and just, you know, and controlling the clock, you know, and throwing the time of possession. So,
right, and I think Phillip Rivers is the most underrated quarterback in the league. For the type of numbers that he puts up, he gets the least amount of mention: 28 for 37, 284 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, was only sacked one time, a passer rating of 124.2 against arguably the best defense in football. We knew they were the best defense in football last year, and they could end up being the best defense in football again this year, but they weren't in week 2 against the San Diego Chargers offense. So you have to really just tilt your hat to the San Diego Chargers offense for really putting together a solid game. And the Houston Texans, what about the Houston Texans, the worst team in the league? What were they, 2-14 last year? They won their first 2 games and lost 14 straight. Am I right?
Yeah, they were. They were.
Yes, sir.
Right, yeah.
The curse of Matt Schaub. The curse of Matt Schaub.
They 2-0, they're going to the Super Bowl. To, holy crap, they 2-14. They're the worst team ever. In the same year, you go from Super Bowl to one of the worst teams ever. And now everybody's picking, like in the pool, everybody's keep picking against Houston, keep picking against them. They're 2-0. They started off 2-0 last year, but I think this year might be an actual, like, solid, honest 2-0. I don't know if this is a fluke this year. I think the Houston Texans are going to be a lot better this year. How do you guys feel about the Houston Texans?
Yes, no doubt. Yeah, those guys are looking like they are ready to go, and yeah, they're going to be interesting to watch the rest of this the season here. And I definitely can see them in the postseason, if not number one, a wild card. I see them making the postseason the way these guys are just unbelievable. This guy Fitzpatrick, man, you know, he's just like, you know, I've been watching him for a couple of years, and he's definitely not bad at all, man. You know, 14 for 19. 139, 2 touchdowns. The guy is he's serious, man. I love the way he just great. He just sees what's going on. He sees the entire field, you know. He just drops back and just, you know, and he just knows what he's gonna do, man. His receivers are, you know, ready to go out there and you know, make plays. And and they got a good backcourt as well, too, you know. So, yeah, I definitely see them making a run.
Yeah, this, you know, we'll get to the, this was my AFC South division winner. I thought they were going to win the division this year. I can tell you a little more why. I thought the Colts weren't going to win it when we get to the Colts, but I just thought they just couldn't be worse last year in the sense of at the quarterback position. Matt Schaub lost his confidence. I think, what, 6 straight games he threw a pick 6. He lost.
What? Wait, stop. Did you say for 6 straight games he threw a pick 6? There's no way that stat is real. That had to be, like, something off of Madden. Like, that's no way that happened in real life.
I think I'll exaggerate a little bit, but it was at least 3 games he threw a pick 6.
That's
terrible.
That's insane. That's crazy.
Terrible.
Wow.
And if you know, we all know football here that, you know, when your quarterback loses his confidence, it's pretty much over.
It's done. Yeah.
With that being said, you know, Bobby G, like you said about Ryan Fitzpatrick, he fits so well for this team. I mean, he's just got to be a game manager. Get that ball to DeAndre Hopkins, get it to Andre Johnson, and hand off to Arian Foster. And, you know, limit your mistakes and don't turn it over. And that's what he's done the first 2 games. They did a really good job against a good Redskin defense in game 1, just taking what was there. And against a bad Raiders team, they just beat them up like they're supposed to. J.J. Watt, it's unbelievable. I don't – listen, if you just watch football for touchdowns and running and juking, that's cool. But when you watch a Texas game, just look to the left side of the defensive end when the Houston defense is on the field and just watch that guy play football. And teams, I love the fact that he's on the – he goes against the right tackle, so the quarterback gets the look in his face as his guy is about to breathe down on him. He's my favorite player to watch in the league. I can't wait to Javonte Clowney gets healthy and they can have that sick pass rush from both ends and just wreck the AFC South. I was not surprised to beat the Raiders. I was surprised the Raiders scored 14. That's what shocked me.
Wow. There you go.
J.J. Watt. Wow. I would say that he's the Brock Lesnar for those for the people who are wrestling fans or UFC fans. I would say he's the Brock Lesnar of football. Like, he is just crazy aggressive. Like you said, that look is so intimidating alone. You could just feel the intensity from the look, and that man doesn't play. He's coming. When he comes, he's coming for blood. And how about he scored? Did y'all see that touchdown he scored?
No, I didn't see the highlight. I think I turned off.
Yeah,
before,
he scored an offensive touchdown, like on like a goal line play. Like, they threw him a touchdown. Like, a receiving touchdown.
They threw him a touchdown?
Yes, a receive. Look it up. Google it. he scored a receiving touchdown. J.J. Watt. I think it might have been his first offensive career touchdown. I don't know if he ever scored one on defense, but I think it's definitely his first time receiving a touchdown. And, yeah, man, look out for the Texans, man. This was going to be interesting. The Colts are starting, Colts starting off 0-2. Let's face it, though. The Colts, opening up week one against Denver is, like, not an easy task, especially in Denver. So it's not like they had an easy road. But, I mean, the Texans 2-0. The Colts 0-2. It's gonna be interesting to see what happens when they play each other. But what about the Jets, the Packers? What about the Jets against the Packers? I was like, man, the Jets are really gonna beat the Packers. Wow, the Packers are going to be 0-2.
Yeah, they blew an 18-point lead, and they just sat on like 21 for a while. You know, it was like 21-3. But I wasn't surprised because, the Packers, come on, man. You know, these guys, you guys are serious. They've been serious for the last couple of years. You know, what you going to say about them? But, but I will say this, the Jets, they need, that was great. They had, they was up there. They just need to play four quarters. They wasn't able to get any more scoring, offense going. And the Packers just pretty much shut them down defensively in that second half, and just scored so many unanswered points, man. It was just unbelievable, So, but I was like, wow, because I was like, just like you, I was like, man, wow, Jets, looking great, But you know what really hurt them though? That timeout. By the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I heard about that.
He called the timeout. And the official had his back turned. So when he heard timeout, because he had to call, he was running over to Rex Ryan, and the official thought it was Rex Ryan calling timeout. And just when Smith threw the touchdown pass, and then they had took it all back, and that was the pass that had tied the game. So that really hurt them right there.
Yeah,
that was crazy.
I would have to fire him.
I was like, the offensive coordinator should have had faith in Smith. And then get this, I watched the news today. He said it himself. I should have had more faith in Smith. And I was like, I said it that day. I just heard him say it today. I was like, wow. And that's his first thing.
I was the owner, yes. I would have told him, I wish you well and your endeavor rents elsewhere because you terminated.
He apologized and everything for that. But that was the first thing I said. Like, why are you running, you know, timeout? Let Smith do what he do, you know? I like Smith. I like Smith. I think he's decent. He got the veteran back there, Vic. You know, he's getting some points from Vic, and he's just doing his thing, man. So, and the defense, to me, they're looking pretty, they stepped it up. They stepped it up, but they need to, they got to play four quarters. They definitely can't, you know, they got to play four quarters. You up 21-3 going into the half, you know, you got to, and, you know, also the offense, they needed to score, you know, some more. But what a game, man. This was a game. That was crazy, man. But hats off, not to take away nothing from the Packers, but hats off to the Packers, man. Those guys, you know, they play four quarters, man. Aaron Rodgers, you know, what a game he had for 346 yards. And, you know, he really came back strong after struggling in the first half. So, BTDs, you know, Nelson, 209, you know, 9 receptions. And, of course, E. Lacy.
Wait, he had 209 receiving yards? Good gracious. That's crazy.
209 receiving yards, yes. 9 receptions.
I was waiting.
209. He was averaging 23.2
per catch. That's crazy.
Yes.
I was waiting here to get in there and kill that Jet secondary. Because in the first half of that game, actually the first, I say, quarter and a half, the line was really covering up a lot of the Jets' errors. And once Muhammad Wilkerson and Sheldon Richardson couldn't get to Aaron Rodgers anymore, it was over. It got over quick. He just found Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson time, especially Jordy Nelson, as the numbers just indicated, time and time and time again. He's three-step drop, bam, it was gone. It was out. And – you know, after the Packers go 97 yards in a minute 13 right before the half to make it 21-16, I knew it was over for the Jets. I was like, that was too easy. That was you just opened the blind time and make it happen. And that, you know, time caught up to them and the Packers won. The Packers were a better team. They should have won. I think we're all shocked the Jets were even up that much.
Right. Yeah. No question.
Yeah, no doubt, man. That was crazy. I was like, man, I seen the score, and I was like, a Rex Ryan coach team, they not going to like let the Packers come back because Rex Ryan is a defensive coordinator, defensive-minded team. Just just don't turn the ball over, play solid defense, don't give up big plays, the game is over. But you just can never count Aaron Rodgers out and Jordy Nelson. That man is a monster. He might be the best white man wide receiver I've seen. Like, as far as, like, a white guy receiver, he might be the best I've seen, at least with Aaron Rodgers. I don't know how he would look if he go to another team, but Aaron Rodgers got him looking like Jerry Rice Jr., man. That's crazy, man. That is crazy. Now, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with the Packers this year. I mean, we've seen what Aaron Rodgers can do. We see what he did in Chicago last year when we thought Chicago was about to actually clinch the division, and Aaron Rodgers with that amazing pass, and the Packers going to win the game. It's going to be interesting to see how things play out for the Packs this year. You can't count them out with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, that's for sure. Now, Kansas City versus the Denver Broncos. How do you guys feel about that? Because it looked like Denver was going to just run away with it, and then, bam, Kansas City. Now, so you know Kansas City's got a chance to actually tie the game. How'd you guys feel about that matchup?
Good matchup. That was a very good matchup, very good game. You know, and I wasn't surprised with Kansas City tying the game up with Denver Broncos. You know, I was not surprised. These guys been, you know, these guys just, you know, wow. What can you say? These guys, they were big, great regular seasons, and just coming up short in the postseason, you know, and this has been happening, you know, last couple of years with them, you know, and it's tough. Well, they're a good team. hats off to them. But also, hats off to Denver as well. You know, these guys are definitely, you know, they've definitely got something to prove after what happened last season. So they definitely, I expect to see them on top of the division and everything, and making a nice run for the money. So, but what a game.
You know,
what?
Mr. Dano touched on this earlier.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to steal your point, Mr. Dano. But you had said that the Broncos' offense hasn't looked as spectacular as it did last year. And I think the reason is that because Mr. Wes Welker is not there.
Right.
They really miss him. He and Emmanuel Sanders were supposed to be the two guys that helped them work between the 20s. And then when they got in the red zone, it could be Demaryius and Julian Thomas to take over.
Yeah.
They're not as effective running the ball yet. Monty Ball hasn't kind of settled into his role. He doesn't look as confident as No'Shawn did last year. It's just, they're just a little off, but it's so crazy how good this team is. They score 55 points in the first two games. We're all wondering what's wrong with their offense because that's how great they have the potential to be. Kansas City hung around this game, actually had a chance to get the lead, tie the game late. Yeah, which was shocking. The Broncos, the Chiefs were terrible.
It was pretty evenly matched, too.
But, yeah, the Chiefs are a bad team. You know, I know they hung okay with the Broncos, but Tennessee went in their home back, they went in their backyard last week and stomped them. And I don't know if you saw that game, but it wasn't even as close to the 20 as the score said it was. I think Alex Smith doesn't have any offensive weapons. Dwayne Bowe hasn't been the same in almost three years now. He didn't have much to work with. The defense, Derek Johnson's gone. Mike DeVito's gone. They lost Eric Berry during the game. I just, you know, credit to them for fighting and to Andy Reid, you know, keeping his guys motivated. But it's going to be a long year for Kansas City.
I think Denver Broncos is a good team, but I think they ain't going to go. I don't think they're going to be in the Super Bowl. I think they're a good team, and I like Peyton Manning, but I think the pressure. I think once the pressure hit them, I think they're not the team that's going to be going to win it all. I really don't. I think the pressure, once the pressure comes, they crumble.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, Peyton Manning gets to that big game, and he's been known to fold. He's still got to put a solid Super Bowl performance. Actually, if I had to pick between, I know Kurt Warner's retired, but Kurt Warner plays outstanding in the Super Bowl. Joe Montana was outstanding in the Super Bowl. Peyton Manning, he's a great regular season, probably the best. He's got to be the best regular season player, quarterback of all time. And he's a solid playoff quarterback, but he's had some crucial losses, a lot of one and dones. Super Bowl comes, and I don't know what happens. Like, you give a team 2 weeks to prepare. They I don't know. The teams have just been able. I mean, even when he beat the Bears, he didn't. It wasn't like a great. I'm surprised he even got the MVP of that game. His numbers weren't great. But that said, like, you still can't count Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos out. I think they easily make the playoffs, and I think they'll probably end up being the one seed. Don't forget Wes Welker's coming back. And it's still, like, them screens, I've never seen a team run screens like that and, like, be that successful. Like, it's crazy. You can see them being 13-3 again. You count on them being 13-3, 14-2, getting a first-round bye, at least going to the AFC Championship. And if someone doesn't upset, them not going to the Super Bowl is an upset. Believe that. And the AFC is an upset.
I think they're going to make a playoff, but I don't know if they're going to be 13-3. I'll put it like this. If they continue to play like they played the other day, and they won by the skin of their teeth. And Peyton Manning, I watched him. He wasn't that good. He wasn't. And if they play like they
did. He had three touchdown passes. He had three touchdown passes. I don't know, man. Like, you know, he kind of quieted down in the second half,
but. They won by the skin of their teeth. If they play like they played the other night, They'll probably be in the playoffs, but I don't think they're going to be in the Super Bowl. If they play like, if their season go like they played the other night and they don't play no better than that, but they should play better than that.
I agree, Mr. Dano. If they play the way they played against Kansas City, they won't make the playoffs. But I think they're gonna. I think going forward,
they should have took Kansas City Chiefs apart. They should have played
better.
Yeah,
they should have. But I think going forward, Mr. Dano, we can expect them to be better.
And if a Bronco, I'm talking about, they was at home and they played like that. If they don't play no better than they played at home, and they got to go on the road, and they don't play no better than that, they're not gonna be in no playoffs.
But Mr. Dano. Let me tell you something
you
real quick, Peyton
like
Manning. Check this out, though. But Peyton Manning, 21-26, 242 yards, 3 touchdowns, passer rating of 143.9. That's outstanding. It ain't Peyton
it
Manning.
It's not
you know, that's he ain't the problem, that's for sure.
He's not the problem. No, I ain't saying him, but...
Wow. He probably won't get 55 touchdowns this year, though. That's for sure.
Peyton,
that's dead.
I saw Peyton Manning in that game. I don't know if y'all saw him, but I saw him fussing at the players at that game. He was upset. I saw him fussing. He was upset. He was upset in that going to that third quarter. Hey, Manning was fussing.
Yeah, it does seem that way. It does seem like Peyton is a regular season quarterback.
That,
yeah, he gets in the postseason.
They had that three.
And,
they had that three and out, and it was Kansas City Chiefs ball. And they had that three and out. Peyton Manning was fucking.
I don't know, man. I don't think nobody wants to Denver. Like, the only time you want to see Denver is in the Super Bowl because Peyton Manning shows that that's the one. If it's one time he fooled, if that's the time. But in the regular season, yeah, you don't want to see them. But that said, y'all, let's move on to this next game. The Bears at San Francisco. That was a good game. Did y'all see that Sunday Night Football? Did y'all actually watch that game live? That was a heck of a freaking game.
What a game. And a good win for the, a good come-from-behind win for the Chicago Bears over the Niners. You know? So that was just
That game made me mad because the 49ers shouldn't have lost that game. I'm mad. I don't know what the
49ers was supposed to win.
But hold on. Let's keep order. Let's keep order. Let Bobby G make his point. Everybody can get that time. Let Bobby G finish making his point. We'll all take time.
Okay.
Yeah, they were definitely supposed to win that game. But, you know, they let Chicago, you know, come back. Kaepernick, you know, 248 yards. You know, they was just looking great, man. That the first, like, half, the first three quarters, really. You know, and they was just doing a thing. Gore, you know, he ran for 63. Crabtree had 82, 7 receptions, 1 TD. Gore, 1 TD. Kaepernick, TD. It was looking great, man. And then here come Jay Cutler and the boys, you know. And, they just smiled. It was, that was kind of like an even, well-rounded like game from the Chicago Bears, you know, because you had like Marshall, Jeffrey, you know, 48, 47 receiving yards. You know, you had, you know, Russian, Matt Forte, and here with 21 yards, and Jay Cutler, 25 yards, you know, Russian. And, you know, and then once again, you know, 23-34 for Cutler and, you know, 176 and 4 TDs. So, that was just, they just put, it's like they just, like, put on a, they just say, you know what, man, it's time to shut it down. And then defensively, they just held, you know, did what they had to do, made the right key stops when they had to, and they just, got back in it. Yeah, no question.
You know, I have a lot of arguments with my 49er friends, because some of them love Kaepernick, and some of them, you know, gets on their damn nerves. And that's because, you know, he's going to make great plays, and he's going to make stupid plays. And this game, this is a microcosm of Kaepernick. You could say that this championship game against Seattle is exactly who Kaepernick is. You know, they're not even in position to win those games if it wasn't for Kaepernick. And then in the end, he kind of throws it away. I mean, some of those picks at the end is just terrible. The one to the sideline, Crabtree definitely should have caught that bounce into the defender's hand. But that second one, it is, I don't know what he was looking at. I know he's got faith in his arm, but you can't make that pass, especially that late in the game. And I got to blame the Niners coaching staff a little bit. I don't know what happened to the run and why they stopped running the ball with Frank Gore and Carlos Hyde, especially against the Bears defense. The one thing they can do is get turnovers and play the passing lane. That's the one thing they can do, and the Niners decided to do that instead of just feeding Gore and going home. The Bears, you'll give them credit. They took advantage of it. The reason they don't have a lot of yards on their stats because they didn't have to go very far to score based off all the turnovers they had. I think the Niners is a game that they're going to end up kicking themselves over as the season wears along and each loss is more precious because they're trying to keep the NFC title game out of Seattle and hold off Arizona at the same time. This is a bad loss. Bears, and you know, they'll probably make the most of it and move on from there.
Yeah,
Mr. Dano? I was disappointed because I'm a 49 fan. You know, my sister, she don't like the quarterback. She don't like him at all. But I'm a 49 fan, and I was disappointed because they should have won that game. I was so disappointed because they just let them come back and just take it. They should have lost the game like that.
Turnovers to do it every time, and key interceptions. This is probably the worst game I've seen out of Kaepernick since he's a. Don't forget, Kaepernick was a rookie quarterback starting in the Super Bowl. So I mean, he had that solid defense to always backing him up if he did make a mistake in a solid run game. He's a huge threat in scrambling. He's always a threat scrambling. We had 66. Rushing yards this game, he's always a big threat scrambling. He can throw it. He can do a little bit of everything. He's turned into a pocket passer. And I think he kind of just was kind of like born with a silver spoon in his mouth, so to speak, because he just had such a solid unit behind him. And when we've finally seen him really just kind of – this was like that welcome to the NFL game. It took like 3 seasons for him to like – I'm not saying this is his first bad game. I'm sure he's had others, but this is the most – like, he always plays good to me, more so than not, and this is the first bad game I've seen him play in a while, like, that I can remember. So, I mean, me and one of my friends had an argument on who was better out of him or Andrew Luck. And I was saying I'd rather have Kaepernick. I know Andrew Luck got a heck of an arm, but Kaepernick showed what he can do. He took his team to the Super Bowl. At the end of the day, this is about winning, you know. And it's just interesting to see, you know, him under pressure like that and make that many mistakes. But at the end of the day, you can't take away from the Bears. And Cutler, you know, he's gets criticized a lot. And, you know, he actually put the team on his back. And Brandon Marshall, he's hurt. And did y'all see that one-hand touchdown? What? Man,
yeah,
3 touchdown passes, but that one-hand touchdown was
that
amazing.
That was a great one-hand catch. Unbelievable. I saw
that. A lot of great catches. There's a lot of great catches this week, but that might have been the best one.
Yeah,
that was
by far. Yeah, that was crazy, man. They pulled it off, and all those injuries, and they said Tillman what? Tillman done for the year, ain't he?
I didn't hear that.
So.
He
is,
didn't he?
Yeah, wow. He hurt his wrist or something. They said he might be done for the year. At his age, they said that might be it for his career. They was talking about that during the game, and they showed him his tears was literally coming down from his eyes. Like, man, this might really be my last game. Like. It's crazy.
Sitting on the sideline. He was crying.
Yeah. Yep.
I didn't know
what that was. Yeah, they say he might be. I think they say he's done for the year, and he might be done for his career. To be honest, so.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now.
But
he is on. He's on injured reserve. Yeah. Season's over.
Yeah. They say he has the most defensive touchdowns or the most defensive touchdowns in recent years or something. He got some really crazy stat because y'all know he's like a turnover machine. Like, I've never seen a cornerback strip away the ball like Tillman does. He is like the master at that, stripping away that ball.
They call it the peanut punch because, you know, his nickname is Peanut. So yeah. He go like to boxing school in the off season and practice his jab and hooks and all that. And that forearm strength really helped him gain a lot of fumbles. He's a good player.
Right.
It'd be sad to see him go out like that.
It would, man. What a freaking career, man. For real.
Yes.
Yeah, with that said, y'all, we wind it down. You know, once again, man, you got to give credit to the Bears for what they did in San Francisco at that. That's what made it even stand out more.
I was disappointed that
San Francisco being such a good team. Probably a lot of people, they're probably the number two, if not the number one, definitely number two favorite to get to the Super Bowl in the NFC, probably behind Seattle. And, with that said, y'all, we had our last matchup, the Monday night game, was another game just as good as the Bears-San Francisco game, another great comeback. It looked like the Colts was going to run away with it, and bam, the Eagles. I ain't going to lie. The Colts got cheated, y'all. We got to keep it real because it's real talk, radio. We on NFL Weekly Wrap-Up. The Colts got cheated, y'all. Am I lying? Do we have any objections to the Colts got cheated?
Cheat is a strong word.
I can't.
I'm sorry. I mean, it is what it is. I call it a spade a spade. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Wow. What a game, man. That was something, man. Nick Foles threw a tying touchdown pass with 3:25 to go and then set up Cody Parkey for the winning 36-yard field goal as time expired, lifting Philadelphia to a 30-27 win in Indianapolis on Monday night.
Yeah.
You know, and the Eagles are now 2-0. And they have won the last six straight road openers. By the way, just to, you know, let you know that.
They tend to play the Giants a lot in openers. And that's probably a big reason why.
Wow.
That was a shot.
This is true. Like, hey, I ain't lying.
Josh Fryant. All right. Yeah, but what a game, man. And Nick Foles, man. Wow. Nick Foles, man. You know, it was 331, man. 21-37, one TD. Big game. You know, and of course, what can you say about Sean McCoy? You know, 20 carries, 79 yards, 4 yards a carry, you know. And, of course, Spoles with 26, 4 for 26, averaging 6.5, 1 TD, you know. So, wow.
Spoles won that game.
Then also 152 yards receiving. So, wow. Okay. He had 26 yards rushing and 152 receiving. So, and he was averaging 21.7 in receiving. So, and then, wow. And Z Ertz was 86, 21.5 plus in receiving. So, what a great come from behind victory. You know, you love seeing stuff like that. Yeah, it's Philly. It's in the NFC East Conference, and I'm like, wow, you know, my Giants are in last place right now, but it's only week two, so I'm not really too concerned.
You know, I don't like the Colts besides Andrew Luck. I think it's a really, really bad team. Mr. Dano, you might appreciate this reference. He reminds me of Elway on those early Bronco teams. You know, not much around him, and he just gets the most out of everybody on that team. Last night, they finally got some sort of running game going from 3-yard Trent Richardson. You know, finally, he moved the ball, and Amar Bradshaw, as much as I hate to say it, has always been a good running back, and they finally decided to give him a little bit of run in the backfield. You can say they got cheated, and that definitely was a little shaky. But at the end of the day, they had a 17-6 lead, and they had two turnovers in the second half, one when they couldn't have got a touchdown, at least a field goal out of it. I don't think the Colts are going to be as good as they were the last two seasons. I see them coming back to earth. You saw they don't have
totally
any sort
agree.
Of pass rush.
Yes.
They have
Colts
no pass rush.
Right.
Robert Mathis is out for the season. Reggie Wayne's going to slow down one of these days. T.Y. Hilton's not consistent. Hakeem Nicks is Hakeem Nicks. He was good 2 years ago. It's going to be a long year for them. They're 0-2, lost to the Eagles, lost to the Broncos. Lucky the schedule eased up for them. I think it's a 7-win, 8-win team right now. And then if they didn't have Andrew Luck, this would be a 2-win team. You can't name me another star.
Wow.
There's not another star anywhere on this team. Anywhere.
Wow.
Anywhere. They don't even have – their linebackers are terrible. Vontae Davis – excuse me, I take it back. He's a good corner. But the rest of that team, man, is average to below average at every other position.
Mm.
Well, them losing Robert Mathis definitely hurts the – you see what happened when the Colts beat Denver last year, and I think the Colts gave Denver their first loss, and Robert Mathis was on Peyton Manning like white on rice. And when you take away Robert Mathis, we know Freeney are been gone, and, you know, they just don't have that same aggression on the D-line now, and now quarterbacks are having time, and – you know, that Colts, they played really, really solid defense. Got to give it to them that first half, maybe the first 2.5 quarters, and then the Eagles started that comeback, and, you know, they just, the defense just kind of tied it up. They got tired or something. They just wore down, and they started giving up big plays, and, you know, even though I still feel like they kind of, it was some really beyond shaky, like they got robbed of me as far as like the referees not calling those couple of plays near the end of the game, like pass interference, like come on man, holding something, that's
like
an automatic first down.
Like
you know,
horse collar, it really wasn't a horse collar.
Yeah, that wasn't no horse collar. Come on, y'all know that,
that wasn't
a horse collar. Like, come on, they said it. The commentators were saying like that's definitely not a horse collar. Like, it's not even close. But I know referees see things in real time. They don't have the benefit of slow motion to check it in slow motion before they make the call like we do. And those things can happen. But that pass interference, like, come on, like that one was obvious, like. Nonetheless, it is what it is. No excuses. The Eagles are a high-powered offense. They pulled it off.
They are.
A great win for the Eagles. You guys think the Eagles – you guys picked the Eagles to win a division? Win a
– I'm not going to say that. Like I said, it's week two, and I'm still, you know – and you know, yeah, I'm a Giants fan, but I'm also not counting out the Giants. Because once again, I see potential.
Bobby G, you need to count them out. you need to go ahead and count them out right now.
You might well count the Giants out. They out. They done. The Giants and the New Orleans.
Yeah, they're probably in last place, man. Eli Manning is looking like he's about to be the rookie season.
Yeah.
Eli Manning, and it's going to get ugly, man. I got the Eagles winning that division, man. I definitely got the Eagles winning that division.
I got the Eagles like you, Tay. I just got to see that offense against a good defense and that defense against a good offense. I have faith in Chip Kelly and what he does. If I had to put money on it, I'm going Eagles. But I'm just not convinced it's a lot.
You're going Eagles, all right. Yeah, but I'm going to say, you also got to remember something. They, you know, the Giants are, I mean, they are, you know, one of the new offensive coordinator, you know, so they're learning a new offense. You know, Eli Manning, he's probably a little uncomfortable with his new formation, with how he, you know, how they, you know, running the offense now. And once they get it down, Eli Manning is Eli Manning, and you can never count him out. You know, he's a big playmaker. You know, he plays four quarters. You know, he has the receiving game, and once those guys get it going, and they are going to get it going, they're going to be a team to watch in the NFC East. And I know right now Eagles are looking good and Washington, and I'm not really concerned about Dallas. So, that you know, they're fine. Yeah.
I can't blame you
for that. So the Giants, Eli Manning is a good quarterback, but he ain't got no line.
They
mess around
and
get that man broke up.
They got no receivers,
season.
Neither.
Yeah.
He ain't got no protection, and they're going to get Eli Manning killed. You better keep 911 on the speed dial. You're going to have to dial 911 because they're going to mess around and get Eli Manning killed. He ain't got no line. He ain't got no protection. He a man on the island by himself. He ain't got not for Washington game, no protection, no help.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to say Eagles is something that I'm kind of in the NFC East that I'm probably more concerned with over Washington and Dallas. You know, Giants are they're gonna wind up possibly in one or two in the division.
It's gonna be interesting to see how things play out.
I couldn't disagree with you more, but I understand, you know, you got to keep that faith, man, you know, when it's your team, it's hard to let go. I'm just saying, you know, they've lost Walter Thurman for the year. Jason Pierre-Paul hasn't been good for 2 years now. Mathias Kianuka was never good. I know a lot of that Giant love is based off what they've done in the past, but that was, 3 years ago they won Super Bowl, 4 years ago, and, five out of the last 6 years they haven't even made the playoffs. So.
Yeah.
That's what they do. They make the playoffs 3 years straight and then win the Super Bowl. So, about to be 3 years. Next year they probably win the Super Bowl. This year they probably 6-10, won't make the playoffs, and next year they win the whole thing and beat Denver or something crazy like that. Like, that's just the type of team they are. But with that said, it's really been fun, y'all. But it's one thing we got to touch on that we didn't get to touch on before we wrap up, y'all, the Adrian Peterson situation. Like, we got to touch on that. Like, what you guys thought
about
that?
Adrian Peterson, well, these days, you know, he did hit his son with a tree branch. So that right there, I would say I was a little over the top, you know. So a tree branch, you know, I felt like, you know, just, you know, if he would have took out his belt or something like that, you know, something normal. I know back in the days, parents would, you know, in the South would hit, you know, switches and stuff like that. But, you know, this is now, you know, and then they have places like, you know, they have all these agencies and ACS and Child Protective Services type stuff. So you gotta really watch it. And I don't forget about all that. I just went and hit my son with a tree branch. I'm going to just be honest with you. I went and hit my son with a tree branch before if he did something. I went and do it. So, I was like, wow. You know, I was kind of surprised. I wouldn't do it. You know, so far as the penalty and all that stuff, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, I mean, you know, he's going to have, in fact, he should be playing next week if I'm not mistaken. He'd be back in the lineup playing and all that, but you gotta be careful with these days. You know, everything is on social media. You know, people got cell phones with cameras. You know, and you know, any little thing you do is gonna be out there. So you gotta be careful. Forget about being careful. You know, I just couldn't see myself hitting my son or daughter with a tree branch. You know, just hold. That's just me. So, yeah.
What I don't understand is how a man hits a grown woman, which is wrong, of course, knocks out, the world loses its mind, of course, as it should. But then an even bigger man go gets an object and then whips his son, an innocent child, and no one bats an eye. And it's not like he whipped him a little bit, because we all got whipped where you get like a bruise or two. But he whipped that boy, man. It's like, I've seen the pictures. This marks up and down this kid's back. This child is 4 years old. He's not a 10-year-old boy. He's not a 15-year-old boy.
I didn't even know he was four. Wow.
He's four.
Yeah, he's 4 years old, boy. Exactly. So, fresh.
And like Bobby G said, man, like, wow, when someone's beating their kid, to me, you're just a bad parent. You know, I have a daughter, man. There's ways to get to your child without putting your hands on them. You know, they love their gadgets and their toys and all this stuff. You take that away from them, that'll hurt them more than any
weapon.
Thank
you. Right.
So if they give Ray Rice two games for that, they got to give more than two games for hitting this kid.
Yeah.
And that's, you know,
yeah.
And people may disagree with me, but that's all I got to say on that.
No, that's it's sad to say because I like Adrian Peterson, great guy on the field, but that right there, no, that's, I'm not with that. I'm just not with that, being foil with a tree branch. Like, that's bad parenting, simple. But and he can get better. He can learn from this and, you know, learn how to do things and maybe get some type of, counseling or something like that.
Exactly.
You know? You definitely need that because you don't have to learn how to be a better parent than that. That's just, no, that's unacceptable.
Mr. Daniel, you had some, sound like you had something to say about that whole Adrian Peterson situation.
It seemed like to me the NFL has a double standard. One thing for Ray Rice, and Ray Rice was wrong for hitting his wife, and they have double standard where they kick Ray Rice out. And then this guy hit his son, which he was wrong, a four-year-old baby. And he was wrong. It was good for the goose. It's good for the gander. And if you're going to punish Ray Rice and take he can't play and put him out indefinitely, they should have did the same thing. You can't treat one person one way and treat another person another way. You can't have a double standard. Wrong is wrong. Any way you look at it is wrong.
I agree.
Yeah, definitely. And I don't know, man. Like, I didn't fully get, like, you know, really get a chance to really, really study the Adrian Peterson story because the Ray Rice story kind of just overshadowed everything, anything that was going on. Like, it just, that was the number one focus. And the main thing for me is just, like, I just feel like the media, like, social media is going to be social media. We control that, the people. But media itself, like the news and all of that, like they all, it's like, you know, they just focus on the negative stuff that's going on, not enough on, like, the good stuff, you know, like not like these guys playing their hearts out. Like, now that Adrian Peterson story is a big story and it should be addressed, but it's like y'all noticed it. Like it's starting to turn into a trend. Like they just keep finding out things that's going on with these players in the NFL, and I don't want the sports to become a reality show because we all know how popular reality shows are with Love and Basketball and Love and Hip Hop and Basketball Wives, all of that stuff, man. Like, you know, they got 100 reality shows now, and since that's like the big thing now, it seems like now they're starting to turn like sports into like Ringling Brothers, and I just don't want to see that happen. Like, it's too much focus on that. That's wrong. What Ray Rice did was wrong. The Adrian Peterson situation sounds 100 times worse to me, but the Ray Rice one was blown up more. And I think, you know, women probably have a big part in that, but, like, I just think that it needs to be more focus on these guys putting blood, sweat, and tears on the line every game, putting on a great show for the millions of fans that love pro football, man, and that's what we need to continue to focus on. I just close out with that. And with that said, y'all, man, it's really been a pleasure. You know, we got two new co-hosts in the house. We got Bobby G. We got Danny Rizzone. We got Mr. Reliable, a.k.a. Mr. Dano. Let's give him some love. It's definitely been a pleasure, gentlemen. You know, it was a big difference from week one to week two. Week one, I was just kind of, like, irritated, like, ugh, I know it could be better. And then you guys came along, and you guys really made it what I wanted to be. So I can't thank you enough. You know, I look forward to, you know, continue to chop it up with you guys, breaking down, analyzing, doing what we do here on NFL Weekly Wrap-Up. And, yeah, man, next week, next Tuesday, same time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You gentlemen know we get on here and chop it up 10 minutes before 9:50. And that's what it is, man. It's been a pleasure. You're listening to NFL Weekly Wrap-Up, Week 2 edition here on It's Real Talk Radio. I'm your host, T-Real. Shout out to Bobby G, Danny Rizzone, and Mr. Reliable, a.k.a. Mr. Dano. And we are out of here. We will see you guys next week. Good night.
He gets the snap. He cocks his arm. He throws a pass. It's caught in stride at the 40-yard line by Thomas. At the 50. Breaks the tackle at the 40. Down the near side. The 25. The 20. The 15. The chase into the 10. The 5. He's in front.
unbelievable quarterbacks in the history of the NFL.